I have everyone's attention, please. Call this finance meeting to order, purpose of which is to review the budget for Department of Community Services. Current or council persons, Kilpatrick, Dillard, Hackett, Bell, Street, Hollins, Council President Bullock, Council Cartier, Council Shelling, Council Reddow, and Council Smiley. Tara Finnegan is taking the minutes. Can I have a motion on the budget hearing minutes of April 28, 2014, special service?
Second.
Motion second, all in favor?
Aye.
All opposed, all not voting, thank you very much. Don't fight for the end seat, is anyone going to step up for community services? Are we boycotting?
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm Sophia Hansen, I am the Acting General Manager for Community Services. And as many of you probably know, I started in this position last Monday, April 28, 2014. And I would like to thank you for allowing me to come here and present our FY 2015 budget. Before I get started, I just want to acknowledge we have our staff here today from Community Services. We have Diana Brown, Jane Rattani, Carrie Casey, and Eileen Latham. And I just want to say these women have welcomed me into this department with open arms, and it's been a great first week working in Community Services. Eileen Latham is our financial expert, and she prepared the books that you have before you today. And I guess I can just begin going through the book.
One point of order, if I can clarify that I have been notified that Councilman Powers will not be here. All yours.
All righty. Okay, if you turn to page one, you'll see our organizational chart for full-time employees. The department has five divisions, 149 positions, 16 which are currently vacant, and that accounts for roughly 11% of our department's workforce. On page two, we have our budget history that goes back to FY 2008. The total budget we're requesting is $18.7 million, which is a 3.8% increase over fiscal year adjusted FY 2014 to reflect the addition of the added positions for Carousel Park. On page three, we have our budget charts and some details related to our department. As you can see, just over 68% of the department's operating budget supports the division of libraries. Personnel costs account for 61% of the department's operating budget. And we're pleased to report the department received over $20 million in federal funding this year, which is a 1.2% increase from last year. Additionally, we received over $2 million in state funding to support our programs. The Summer Youth Employment Program was increased by 36% this year, so we'll have some added positions there. If we go to page four, and this dates back to 2008 as well, the department has 149 employees. The number increased in the middle of FY 2014 to reflect the transfer of Carousel staff from the Special Services Department. And now we go to page six. Pages six and seven list the department's diversity reports for full and part-time employees. Our department is 80% female compared to the state's average of 49%, and we are 27% non-white, while the state's average for that is 29%. County Executive Tom Gordon has expressed a deep commitment to employment diversity, and I'll discuss our initiatives in this area later in our budget presentation. And now if we go to page 10. Page 10 and 11 provides details specific to our budget. As stated before, we have a 3.8% increase for approximately $688,000 from the FY 2014 budget. The increase is mainly attributed to the salaries and wages, benefits, and contractual services. For salaries and wages, there is a 6.7% increase, and this is due mainly to merit increases and the minimum wage increase to $10.10. And now we get to my favorite part, which is page 16, where I can review some of the accomplishments that this department made over past year. And the full list is in pages 16 through 20. And I can't take credit for any of the accomplishments that were made in the past year, but The ladies before you in the Department of Community Service should definitely take a bow. The work that they've done has been amazing. I've spent the past week touring our facilities and reading through books and learning about all the accomplishments and what they've done in this past year, and I was truly amazed. But from all that they've done, we put together a short list, and I'll review some of those key items today. And I'll start with this: what happened this past weekend. Jane Rattani got me to do something I said I'd never do in my life, which is sleep outside in a tent in the rain. So I grabbed my family, and we all went to sleep under the stars, and we had an amazing time. Everyone there seemed to be enjoying quality family time. There were no iPods, no text messaging. People were barbecuing by the pit and playing frisbee, and it was just a great feeling for everybody there. The highlight for my children was the 2 hours of constant line dancing, which I tapped out after the first hour, but it was really amazing. And Jane and her staff pulled together this one-of-a-kind event, and I just want to acknowledge her for that accomplishment. The county made it a priority to reestablish free family-friendly events throughout county parklands, and I'm pleased to report that in 2013, over 10,000 individuals enjoyed one or more of these special events. Special events such as Sleep Under the Stars, the Fairy Festival, Carousel Fun Day, Holiday Open House, and the Platinum Picnic. And of special note, and Jane has an article with this, we have three council members featured in this, was the Carousel Country Spring Festival, which was attended by over 7,000 individuals. I was amazed to read about the success of this event in the paper, and I would like to acknowledge Regina and her staff members who volunteered to make this such a successful event. Honoring a commitment to children and programs serving youth in, honoring the commitment to children, programs serving the youth in underserved communities has been expanded. We've instituted programs in these areas and developed new partnerships to assist us to reach more diverse populations. And through the county's federal funding allocation, over 5,000 low-income individuals have been served. This funding is used to address housing and quality of life issues for Newcastle County residents. I'm pleased to report that we were awarded $500,000 grant from the Federal Home Loan Bank of Pittsburgh for community stabilization efforts along the Route 9 corridor. This funding will assist the county in revitalizing and strengthening our low-income communities. The Federal Home Loan Bank funding will be used in conjunction with the county's highly successful neighborhood stabilization program, also known as NSP. Since 2009, the county has been awarded over $13 million in federal funding. We purchased and renovated over 85 foreclosed homes and provided over 200 vacant home buyer assistance loans to home buyers. And I would like to congratulate the lady sitting to my right, Carrie Casey, for this accomplishment. The opening of the Claymont Library in the fall of 2013 was received with great enthusiasm. The site, which was previously located in the Claymont Community Center, has been a major asset to this community. And the last accomplishment that I will highlight this afternoon is last, but certainly not least. After 20 years of dedication to this initiative, Diana Brown was successful in convincing the state to allow the county's libraries to transfer to the state's computer system. This action resulted in a much higher level of library technology, and over time will result in a saving of approximately $1 million to the county. So for that, we thank you, Diana. And now we'll move to page 21, and I can review some of our goals and how we'll spend this $18.7 million. And that's pages 21 through 25. When President Barack Obama was still a U.S. Senator in Illinois, he made a statement that has stayed with me for years. Literacy is the most basic currency of a knowledge economy. And on that note, I'm proud to report that one of our goals for the upcoming year is to have a groundbreaking event for the Route 9 Library, which is much needed in that neighborhood. In keeping with the commitment that the County Executive Tom Gordon and County Council have made to implement diversity, Community Services has been working diligently to develop a diversity recruitment plan for both our staff and the three boards that fall under our department. We are also looking to expand programs and services for diverse and special populations, for veterans, seniors, youth, and families through effective partnerships and volunteerism. We will increase the owner-occupied rehab loans and homebuyer loans by seeking different sources of funding from the private and public sector. In accordance with the federal mandate, we would develop Newcastle County's five-year consolidated plan for FY 2016 through 2021. Finally, to work to address what has been called the most dangerous drug in America, Community Services will partner with Public Safety to develop multifaceted marketing and outreach plans for the Heroin Alert Program. So as you can see, from literary resources to athletics, affordable housing, neighborhood stabilization, and cultural enrichment activities, the Department of Community Services provides the components necessary for a healthy and well-rounded community. I'm proud to be a member of this team, and I would like to thank you for allowing me to make this presentation before you today. Are there any questions that I can answer or any of our team members can answer?
If I may.
Yes, sir.
Any questions from any member of the council?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I actually have three questions. You mentioned 11% vacancy, and do you know how many of those are federal-funded positions?
Eight are grant-funded.
The next question would be the 36% increase in summer youth. Is that a result of the minimum wage, or are we going to be able to hire four more kids?
I don't know if we have the calculations on number of people
we're going to hire. We are going to be able to hire additional children.
You just know it's more.
Additional youth, 62 total. So we did get an increase in overall for more. And they did take into account the addition or the increase in the state minimum wage to $7.75.
Right, from $7.75 to $10.50 or whatever we decided.
$10.10.
Yes, okay. And we're going to make that adjustment for although the state budget is prepared on the $7.75.
Right, right. And finally, you mentioned the $20 million, I believe, was earlier that we received. Does that include Section 8?
Yes,
and
it does.
NSP
$16 million
and all those?
Is Section 8. The NSP is not new funding, it's program income funding.
Mm-hmm. And what about, it includes home and all of those things? That's the total.
Home, right,
ESG,
okay.
Okay.
Right. CDBG.
Yeah, I'm looking under your community resources division for the 2015 goals. I want to encourage you to really explore and pursue the bullet point that talks about Rockwood Museum and its availability for field trips for local school districts, because it's just a natural thing. And I know that, you know, I've kind of promoted that idea with Burnywine School District, but all of them could benefit. It's not far to go, and it certainly would give a kind of new experience to, the kids that participate in a field trip experience like that.
That's great advice.
I think that's a great, way for us to partner with school districts.
I agree wholeheartedly. I wrote that down, so we'll take care of that tomorrow.
Any other questions by any members of council?
Councilman Bell. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I don't know whether you want to call on Diana for this, but as far as the acceptance into the state, I believe you're talking about the technology portion of it and everything. Could someone kind of expand a little bit on that as to what it means for our county libraries? And also, does that include our contracted libraries?
Diana can speak to that.
Diana Brown, Department of Community Services. Actually, this has been something that all the public libraries have been working towards for 20 years. And the reason for it is we had four independent systems. So basically, we're paying vendors to replicate across our whole state exactly the same thing. And it was challenging because we couldn't move forward at the pace that we needed to. So to a lot of people's credit, the state has stepped up, and all of the public libraries, contract and county and in each of the counties, are part of this consortium. So we're actually moving beyond the desktop to wireless, to applications, to what's being called maker spaces and 3D printing, and all of that which the state is helping us to support.
And do we have the necessary hardware and everything in place?
They are providing. That's the amazing thing. They are, the county was having to pay 50% of the cost of all public PCs, and they are beginning this current fiscal year paying 100%.
And one final question, Mr. Chairman, would be, is that same equipment being provided by the state to our contracted libraries?
Yes. There's no, as far as technology is concerned, everybody's on an equal footing.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Well, Ms. Hanson, welcome. Obviously, you know, for only being here a week, you've hit the ground running, and you know, you presented yourself very well in this budget. And we have seen some other new managers come on that have not done nearly this well. So I'm encouraged, and thank you. I have brought up in the past about trying to engage the technology for the scheduling of our community rooms at our libraries, and perhaps allowing the communities to go online and schedule a room, and even for us to be able to see who's in the rooms and stuff. But it's something that hasn't really kind of taken hold yet. Do you know?
No, we're and still doing it with the book.
Yeah, they handwrite it in a little book, and you have to go.
But it's something that could be posted so people know when times are blocked off once we do it. And that's something mm-hmm. that we can make available. Are you saying that should be internally or external or both?
Well, if the communities actually could go in and see what dates okay. are available, you know, and then they could schedule meetings appropriately, and then perhaps reserve one. We're using it for like the pavilions and stuff, you know, at the parks. So it kind of just seems like it would lend itself kind of back to the rooms at the libraries, and then us to be able to see who's in there. And it's, I guess, something we've had with some events that went on at Glasgow Park. You know, we didn't even know what was going on. We had the community call us about, and we had to call over, you know, to try to figure it out. So if there was some way even we could see what was happening or what was going
and
on.
And we could have it internally where people who work here, the council members, would have access to the schedule, but for the general public, they could just see what dates are already booked.
Right, and what's available, and they right. could use that to schedule appropriately.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I just wanted to, we actually have been working with the state. This is part of the software that they're providing, and it's different than what the activity centers are doing because it's a different software.
Oh.
The real push was actually for the summer reading club participation. So 2 years ago, we started with that, and it's kind of a phased implementation, but I think that by next year, you're going to see us almost fully implemented to do exactly what it is that you're looking for. One of the challenges, excuse me, is that we have to figure out the balance of managing those meeting rooms because they're prioritized with library use, county use, public use. So there has to be that human element in there. It's not just first come, first serve. There has to be some kind of approval process in there. But we'll be working through that. So we are getting there. It's a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
Captain Cartier, and then I'll go to Mr. Hasselbaum.
I know this division is the major recipient of federal funds through HUD or Section 8 Home Community Development Block Grant. I wonder if we could just get a little refresher on where we stand in terms of federal budgeting and certainty of funds going forward, maybe just to, you know, so I can have that on my mind again.
Did you want us to review it, or would you like me to send you a copy?
No, just to kind of give us an idea, not the actual numbers I'm speaking more about. We've gone through several years where we've had real huge uncertainty about federal budgeting and in terms of HUD funds. And maybe just to kind of recap, do we have certainty about federal funds?
We do, and we have a 1.2% increase in the coming year.
Yeah, previous year went over that in community services.
Previous year,
excuse me, let's see if Penrose can help.
Well, yeah, I was going to say that during our last community services committee meeting that Kerry Casey covered that, but the short answer is there is no certainty. We never know what's going to happen from 1 year to the next, and it's been even more uncertainty in the last 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 budget cycles. We hope for the best, and we plan conservatively, but the certainty is definitely not there.
The only constant is we don't know. Mr. Wasserbach.
Yeah, Bob Wasserbach, County Audit. I've got a couple questions. You mentioned your goal, Sophie, about pursuing grant opportunities. I know there's an RFP out now, which is on the weekly purchasing report, which council gets. There's an RFP. I don't know if it relates to your department or several departments, but there's an RFP out to engage a firm to help with grant opportunities. Is that?
I can.
Okay.
Diana Brown, It is actually, I think, Administrative Services that issued that RFP.
Okay.
So Mr. Gardner would probably be the best person to ask the question to.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Gardner?
Yes.
Okay.
Another question.
Okay. Yeah, my other question is, I see Stephanie Rizzo in the room for community governing, and I see community governing is mentioned in here. Where are they on the organization chart?
That's being assessed by the county executive for what the path is going forward on that. So okay. Currently it's not listed.
Okay.
She's here as the confidential assistant to the acting general manager.
Okay. Thank you.
I'll just speak to her for a moment, and we'll see whether what I've been advised of as of the end of last week is true. And that is that the individuals that were, let's say, referred to as participants in community governing are being returned to other departments, and there will be no community governing.
Okay.
In the aspect of what we all envision is what it used to be. There will still be people in each department that will deal with the community at their issues, refer them to us if needed. And if any council member, as we discussed, if any council member needs additional assistance or wants some additional assistance at one of their communities or whatever, you reach out, someone will be provided. Because if you want help, it's there. If you don't want it, you don't have to have it.
Well, Mr. Chairman, obviously not a discussion here, I guess, but maybe somebody a little bit later in the administration could provide us something with who we're reaching out to or who, I don't know. I mean, we've got new communities that are being turned over. We actually just sent a response to community governing and found out Stephanie, but which is, you know, good. I'm glad to hear, but just wondering, you know.
From what I said, there will be a presentation once they get everything worked out. The bottom line is, as far as I'm concerned, I'm talking for me. If I got a land use issue at a community, I'm calling land use. If I got a special services issue at a community, I'm calling special services. If I got a community services issue, I'm calling community service. I'm calling the relevant department and ask, can you have a representative, just as we do with public safety. But there will be something coming forward, I've been told, once they get all of everything worked out. But basically, if the council member wants help, and this is what the big uproar was when community governing first came out, was people, council members, and I was one. I didn't want the redundancy of someone from the administration sitting in the same meeting I am, hearing the same things, and acting on them. So, if you want help, it's there. You can always call the county executive's office and get it from there. But there will be a presentation coming forward, from what I understand. And again, that is outside of the budget. Councilor Street.
Before y'all get to fighting about that,
I'm done with it.
We're not fighting.
The magic number I heard in terms of some of you, I think, was 62. And when I was City Parks Director, and I know you're going to say the area is again comparing apples and oranges, at 1,200. City last year, I think, had 200. I'll even give them 400. 460. It's less than 500 kids in the whole county going to be working. And not criticizing the department, I'm just saying that's why I'm going to take my remaining office money, my remaining grant money, and put it into some of you. End of the day, you got less than 500 kids in the whole county working. Both police departments, all police departments, going to be quite busy. So I'm concerned, and I think we as a council and as a government should be concerned that we just don't have enough employment opportunities for these kids. So I'm going to put my money where my big mouth is.
Thank you.
And for the record, the balance of my office funds will go to the same place.
Thank you.
Back in the county. But we will have to discuss that at finance and get some numbers. Councilman Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the lines of the Summer Youth Employment Program, is there a way that we could be given some sort of a more definitive breakdown as to what does summer youth cover? Where does it apply to as far as the different areas of the county? So where do we hire the summer youth from? Kind of a breakdown throughout the county, and I'm particularly interested in, you know, the Route 9 corridor is near and dear to several of us on council and to the entire council. But we have some underserved areas down around the Middletown area, the MOT area. And I'm kind of trying to figure out, like, where are these programs? Where do we draw folks from?
We can map that.
Yeah. And I'd just like to see, especially with increase in funding, to have more involvement from the southern part of the county.
Once we have all the hiring decisions made, we can put a map together for you.
Yeah, and it would actually be good to know.
Good for us as well.
Ahead of time, so that we can get some of our youth in the application process. What type of jobs are you looking for? Do they have to provide transportation from where they're located? Where are the summer youth jobs at? Those are the type of things I think when we attend community meetings would be very beneficial.
We'll get that right on to
encourage.
We'll send it to all the council.
Yeah. And I know there is literature that is handed out, but kind of trying to take a look at some of the areas of my district in particular where there's some areas that are really underserved.
Thank you.
And I'm just going to piggyback on that with the relevance of what district or whatever the employees may come from. I think part of that picture has to be what districts did they apply from.
Yeah.
Because there is an application process mm-hmm. to it. Councilman Hollins. And yeah. That'll be a community services.
There was a flyer that we received, I believe it said
yes.
The 10th
yes.
is the day that the government center, all kids are encouraged to go there for the orientation and assistance to getting an opportunity, and that's what I've been telling kids. The other thing is that it's for the most part income driven, so there's an income eligibility that is required for the federal government, which means that most of the kids are going to come from disadvantaged neighborhoods. That's the biggest driver that I'm aware of, is income eligibility.
Any other questions from any members of council? Councilman Street.
Well, I just want to, again, it's got nothing to do with the department, but both the state and the city, just in terms of the lunch program, once upon a time, they were self-prepping, so the kids had an opportunity to prepare the food, deliver the food, be involved in the process, and both of the other governments decided that it was better to go with vendors, so they let outside vendors, mostly from New Jersey, lock all that money up and do away with all those jobs. So those are things we need to be talking to other governments about in terms of just letting those opportunities go by the wayside. So I'm really concerned and actually afraid of what's going to happen if we keep going down this path of ignoring these kids during the summer. So.
Thank you, sir. Anything else,
Member
of Council? I turn the public. Well, thank you very much for presenting.
And thank you.
I just want to acknowledge up front, I'm a big, big supporter of promotions and filling positions from in-house. And I do believe we have qualified employees in community services. But I want to say I applaud you. You've done an excellent job presenting. It seems you seem to have grabbed a quick grasp of everything. And I believe the department's in good hands.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
And I owe you a Sweeney's.
Okay.
For those of you who don't know, those are donuts.
Oh, yeah.
Your motion.
We know
those.
Is that what's called now?
Yeah. Second.
Second.
All in favor.
Aye.
All opposed. Thank you.